Well, I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. I want to preach for a little while about prayer, about the Garden of Gethsemane and prayer in Matthew 26, verse 36. While you're finding your place there in Matthew 26, I did hear this story about these two brothers. They're about 5 and 7 years of age, and Jesse and Ryan, and they were arguing over the last pancake. Mom had made pancakes. They'd both had a big stack of them. It wasn't like they needed it, but there was one left, and boy, they were arguing. Now, you'd think they'd just do the normal thing and cut it in half and each of you take it, but neither one of them was satisfied. They wanted one. The other one wanted it, and they were just arguing back and forth. Mom had been trying to do a good job. She'd been taking them to Sunday school. She'd been trying to teach them right, golden rule, and you know, all of these things, and finally, she had enough. She said, "Now, boys, listen." She thought this would be a great teaching time. She said, "Well, boys, what Jesus would do would say, 'Let my brother have the pancake. I'll do without. I'm fine.' That's what Jesus would do in that situation." And so they let that settle in for a little bit. One of them piped up and says, "Okay, Ryan, you be Jesus." So that giving brother, I tell you, he was ready to let the other one be like Jesus. So Garden of Gethsemane, I want to preach for a little while about the labor of prayer, because truly our Savior is laboring. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples," verse 36 here of Matthew 26, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful and very heavy," just very downhearted, very heavy. "Then said he unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me.' And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.' And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, 'What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples and saith unto them, 'Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me.'" And again, I'd like to preach for just a little while about this subject, the labor of prayer. We have this moving story of Jesus taking the three disciples up to or down to Gethsemane's garden before he goes a little further, and then he's ultimately going to be arrested and then go to the cross. But while he's there, he's intent on doing the will of God the Father. We find out much about the attitude of prayer in these verses. Not so much a formula to say this, 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 but the heart's condition of our Savior, and I trust to be a blessing to us. Be with us now, dear Father, we pray. And I ask you, dear Lord, that you'd give us some lessons on prayer this morning, and may we all be those that labor more in prayer, spend more time in prayer, and long to be there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember hearing a young ministerial student, he had talked about to this older pastor, he said, "I've heard all these old preachers talk about praying through the night." And he said, "I've never done that. I've never stayed all the way through the night and prayed." And he was burdened about that because somehow maybe his dedication wasn't as high as it should be. But the older pastor, he assured him and comforted him. He said, "Listen, son, there'll come a time in your ministry when you can't do anything but stay awake and pray, because sleep won't come." He said, "Don't worry." You know, there's times in our lives when we pray, we pull ourselves away and we pray to the Lord about certain things. And here we have this wonderful lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us about prayer that I want to drive home to myself and to us today. I want you to look in verse number 38 and start off by seeing the sorrow of prayer that the Lord Jesus exhibits here. "He cometh unto a place called Gethsemane, and he said, 'Sit here, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.'" And the Bible says in verse 38, I see, that "my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." We see the Savior's heart and we see the condition of it. And we understand that we ought to pray when things are happy and things are good and it's wonderful, all is going well, and we're grateful for those things. But there are some times when sorrow drives our heart or drives our heart to its knees, and we pray to the Lord and we see the sorrow of the Savior on that day. Not surprising, because Isaiah 53 says he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Much of the Lord Jesus' life was typified by that sorrow that would linger, and that he would go and he would bear the burdens of other people. We see him with a heavy heart. We see him with a heavy heart. Yes, he's going to go through a lot of excruciating pain, but I believe the need for him prayer and the heaviness of his heart is not because of that pain that he's going to endure, but instead that separation. The Bible teaches that he took upon him the sin of us all. And for the bearing of our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, and the Lord, he asked the Father, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And had to tarry and carry all of the burdens of your sins and my sins on his back. And so I do believe that that was the reason the sorrow was there, because the Father was going to turn his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the first time, they had perfect harmony and unity. And we see, though, the sorrowful attitude of prayer. I'm not trying to get us today to say that we're going to be sorrowful in prayer all the time, but I am saying this, that sometimes, like that old preacher told that young preacher boy, sometimes you can't do anything but hit your knees, either literally or figuratively, and pray to the Lord. I read a story of a lady that hurried into a department store around Christmas time, and she had grandkids, and she was wishing that Christmas would be over. She said, "I'd be happy if they just slept through it." She had had all that she could take. Went down one of the aisles of this department store and saw a little boy with a doll and thought that was strange. And so she started asking him some questions. But before that, she overheard him holler across to an aisle and said, "How much do I need? Do I have enough money yet?" And the lady from the other side says, "No, I told you, you don't have enough." And she asked, "What was the doll for?" He says, "My sister." And the lady just, again, hurried and wanted to be nice. Said, "Well, maybe she'll get it sometime." And the little boy said, "No, she's with Jesus. And I wanted to get this for her because Dad said that my mom's going to go see Jesus real soon. And I wanted her to take this to my sister." And the lady, all of a sudden, all the cares of her schedule and all the worries that she had just kind of left her. And she's focused on this little guy standing here in the department store. And she said, "How much do you need?" And he knew, because she looked on the shelf and could see what it cost. And she said, "Let's count again." She reached into her purse and she added some of her money into it. And he was so excited. He said, "I asked for enough to buy the doll for my sister. I wanted to ask enough to buy a rose for Mom because she likes white roses, but I didn't want to." And he was so excited. About that time, his aunt came from the other aisle and the lady pushed her buggy on and went to get her stuff. But it started ringing a bell. You know how you do when you start remembering things. She said, "I was some on the news that had talked about a family that got hit by a drunk driver, and the young daughter had passed away, and the mother was not doing well." She, in the day or two or three, just in the next couple of days, she saw in the newspaper, sure enough, there was an obituary for that lady that presumably had died at the effects of a car wreck. Curiosity or kindness, one or the other, got the best of her. And so she got some white roses and went to that funeral home thinking, could that be that same family? And she walked up to the front, gave the flowers to the funeral home attendant, and walked to the front, and she saw a young lady in the casket. And sure enough, there by her was that little doll that that boy had, a white rose, and then a picture of the boy that she had seen about 3 days before at the department store. I'm here to tell you that sometimes sorrow grips our heart to the point where we can't do anything but pray. You understand that that little quippy saying that says we use prayer as a last resort instead of a first response hits us Christians a lot of times? But there are times when the Lord Jesus Christ showed us that that sorrowful attitude of gets us into prayer, and he has a heavy heart, and he has one that is just so burdened. And my friend, I believe that I preach to people each week that are also living with heavy hearts, and sometimes we bypass the greatest asset we have, the greatest resource we have, and that's prayer to the Lord. We'll tell our problems to our friends. We'll speak about them to other folks, but we oftentimes don't go to the Lord. And I'm asking you, my friend, to get that attitude of prayer in everything that comes up to your life. The Bible says there's nothing going on in your life that you shouldn't pray about, because it says in pray about everything. I've heard sometimes people say, well, that's so minor. I've heard parents rather tell their kids, that's so minor. Don't bother the Lord with that. My friend, don't ever say that. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too big either. But there's nothing too small to take to the Lord. But I see here the Savior has the sorrow of prayer. But I want you to look in verse number 40. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. I want you to look at verse 43. And he came and he found them asleep again. Would you look at verse number 45? Then he cometh to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. While Peter, James, and John sleep on the Savior, sleep on the watch, the Savior is denying sleep and going to God the Father. You see, prayer is a wonderful privilege and a command that we have to us from God, but it's also a labor. It's also a sacrifice. And so not only the sorrow of prayer, but the sacrifice of prayer that's giving here. You've got those times when you need to pull away from what's going on in your life. We've got those times when we need to step back from everything and there's something major going on in your life. Here's this little saying that we might as well give it to God. He's up all night anyways. And you understand that sometimes we wrestle and labor and bellyache and moan when really we ought to have that sacrifice of prayer, pull back away from everything that's going on. That's where we get fasting of the Bible in the Bible. But the reason is we're giving up an earthly blessing. We're skipping a meal or two or three or whatever. And we're saying that not because that's a lucky charm or a magic trick with the Lord, but we are turning away from some physical need so that we can give a spiritual allegiance to the Lord and say, Lord, I want your help in this area, and you're dedicating yourself. I see not only the sorrow of prayer, but the sacrifice of prayer. Oh, we enjoy quick prayers like, Lord, bless this trip and keep us safe as we go. And certainly nothing wrong with that. I love to hear children pray, even if it's one of those little pre-programmed prayers that you teach them before they go to bed or before they eat a meal. That's not bad. That's good. Those little quick prayers, that's getting them in the habit. But sometime, my friend, my brother, my sister in Christ, we're going to have to get to a place when something big in your life comes. We're going to have to get to a place where we pull back away and we have the sacrifice and we say, I'm going to give that up so I can go to God. And we're going to have to go in that sacrifice of prayer. Are we doing that? We understand that the book is the Lord speaking to us, and we ought to strive to get in it every day. But our prayer time is us voicing to the Lord those issues, those problems, those thanks, those praises, those worships. And I'm afraid that in our busy culture that we've got, we don't pull away as often as we should. That old preacher was right. There'll come a time when you got to pray all the way through the night. But my friend, I believe there's some things going on in our lives. And what would be best fit to combat that problem is for us to exit the situation and go find our prayer closet somewhere. Spend time with the Lord. Next time you're driving to work and you've got to go to Bristol or you've got to go somewhere, turn that radio off. Just use it as time to pray and talk to the Lord. Next time you've got those times that you're going to take a walk, you're going to go do something, leave the AirPods and do all that, just talk to the Lord. Next time you've got an evening that nothing else is going on, turn off everything else and just talk to the Lord. I'm talking about that sacrifice of prayer, pulling back away. But I want to show you one last thing. You look in verse number 39. The Bible says in Jesus, he says, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Would you look ahead to verse 42? the last phrase of the verse before 43 starts, thy will be done. Can I give you a revelation that you already know? That the Lord Jesus Christ, his requests, his prayers didn't get answered. Because he did go to the cross. That cup didn't pass from him. He went and provided salvation. He did have that break in fellowship. Jesus, our perfect example, shows us the perfect attitude to have, and that attitude is surrender. We sing that song sometimes, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. We think about that in our life. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I tell every graduate if I get a chance to talk to him, just give your whole life to the Lord. Don't have your plans. Say, God, what are your plans? I tell them all to give their life to the Lord. We think about that hymn in reference to our life, but really it also fits in the avenue of our prayer life. Now, I don't think that every prayer has to have on the end of it like a tagline, according to thy will. I don't think that's wrong, but you don't have to say that every time. But that thought, that attitude ought to be the overreaching, the umbrella attitude of every prayer that I pray. Because think about this with me. We've got an all-knowing God. He is omniscient, all-knowing. And then we've got a guy that knows almost nothing. We've got a finite person in you, an infinite God. And then here we are praying and asking him things. Stands to reason that sometimes, because of our limited sight, we'll ask things that don't turn out to be right. I've asked you before, so I don't have to ask you again. You don't have to raise your hand, but I've asked you before, how many of you prayed some things, and after it was all over, you were certainly glad God didn't answer your prayers. There's people sitting in this room right here. You prayed for a relationship to work out, and that boy, he was handsome. He was this. He was that. You prayed it work out, and now you realize that that would have been the biggest mistake of your life. We've got this surrender of prayer. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And I realize that in order for us to achieve that surrender in prayer, we're going to have to get to a place where we realize that I don't know it all. And the attitude would be, Lord, I'm praying from my limited vantage point, and this is what it looks like, this is what I'm praying. But Lord, you know everything, thy will be done. Do you know that even the most obnoxious little kid, I don't know which one it is, whoever he might be, do you know even he's easy to make him behave? It's easy to see him act right for a little while. All you have to do is give him everything he wants. Sure, you're making him a holy terror for somebody else, but you grandparents in the room, that's what you do. Just give him everything they want. But that doesn't help him. Because here's the thing. If somebody asked their dad, Dad, can we please go ride go-karts over at Pigeon Forge? Because I need to. It's a human right. I'm underprivileged. And then that dad says, yeah, we can do that. You know, that's not a sign of how good an attitude that kid has. Can I tell you when you find out how good of attitude he has? Dad, can we go ride those go-karts and eat ice cream and go do this? No, son, not today. Because our attitudes don't really come up until we get some pushback. We're not a good Christian just because, wow, it's a beautiful day today. I had the health to come in here. Things are going good. My car ran all the way here. I didn't break down. I didn't run out of gas. I didn't hit anybody. Nobody hit me. My wife was nice to me. My husband was nice to me. All these things. Everything's in line. Boy, isn't God good? Yes, he is. But if you'd run out of gas, and before you got the refill of gas, somebody rear-ended your parked car, and your wife isn't nice to you, your husband isn't nice to you, and things have gone wrong, and you realize you've got two different color shoes on, or a couple different this is wrong and that's wrong, can I tell you this? God's still good. Amen. And if I pray, and the Lord answers my prayer exactly as I prayed it, God's good. But if I pray and the Lord sees fit to say no to my request because he knows so much more than I do, my God's still good. Amen. So not only do we need the sacrifice of prayer and the sorrow of it, but we need the surrender of it. If we, in our prayer life, if we want to be like Christ, what we have to do is surrender to the Father's will. You see, we're not just rubbing the side of a lamp and hoping a genie pops out and he gives us three wishes. That's in a cartoon. We're talking to the God of all creation. And our Bible commands us and invites us and rewards us for praying. Prayer is sometimes wonderful. It's fast. Lord, please bless in this way. But sometimes it's labored. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's that surrender takes a while. But my friend, today, I came to tell you that we as Christian people need to be involved in this most needed ministry, and that's prayer. Because there are people in this room that are struggling with some of the most difficult things that they've ever faced in their life. The answer is prayer. There are some people in this room that you've got the most difficult situation going on in your family, and you have given up your greatest resource, and that's prayer. It's impossible, Pastor. How many times have we heard that? No sense in praying. It's over. It can't be fixed. Do you understand that that's when our God works? Nothing shall be impossible with Him. And so you've got some prayers that need to be prayed. And some of them need to be prayed with that intensity and that sacrifice and that sorrow. My friend, what are you facing that you haven't taken to the Lord? I can't guarantee you, say, well, you do this and He'll answer it just exactly the way you want. Because I already gave you the most perfect of illustrations of the Lord Jesus. And the answer was no. But the attitude was right from the get-go. Not my will, thine be done. If you've got a person that is resigned to do whatever the Lord wants, then the answer is going to be the right one. Because, Lord, I'm more concerned about your glory than I am my comfort. The labor of prayer. Perhaps you're here today and you're a Christian, but you haven't been praying like you should. This message, I came to preach it to you today to tell you, we need to be known as praying people. You need to get back in that prayer time. You need to get back in that attitude of seeking the Lord. But maybe you're here today and you're not, you say, Pastor, I'm not a believer. I don't know for sure. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Can I tell you this, that after that story, Jesus was betrayed by one of His own. He was beaten, mocked, ridiculed, and put on trial, a Mickey Mouse trial, so to speak, and taken to the cross of Calvary and took your sins and mine. Every lie that you've ever told, everything you've ever stole, every attitude that was ever wrong, every wrong thing that you've ever said to anybody or about anybody, all of those sins and so many millions more were put on the account of Christ, and He went to the cross. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It did not. He went to the cross for your sins and mine. That's the gospel. He went to the cross. He died for my sins. And they took Him down off that cross. They put Him in a tomb. And 3 days later, He rose again in victory over all of death, all of sin, and all of hell. That, my friend, is the entire gospel. And He did that for you. You may say, Pastor, I'm not much of a praying person. Well, it could be that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you need to ask Him to come into your life. Call upon His name to be saved. So the invitation is twofold this morning. If you're a Christian in this room, Isn't it time that we become praying Christians again? Isn't it time that we take everything to the Lord in prayer? Isn't it time that we go to Him and we sacrifice our time and we speak to the Lord about everything? And then secondly, if you're here and you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, it's time for you to pray and receive Him as your Savior. Put your faith, your belief, and your trust in Him. So there's nobody in this room that is exempt. All of us need to make a decision today. Either decide to accept Christ as your Savior. If you've already done that, then decide again that I want to be a praying Christian. Father, would you please bless us now as our prayer? We thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, I pray for every brother and sister in Christ in this room. Dear Lord, I pray that they would, if they already are, that they would sign up again. But maybe they've let that slip. They're not a praying Christian, not like they should be. Lord, I pray that today you would help us to get reinvigorated for that wonderful privilege of prayer. And then, Lord, if there's one or several in this room that aren't saved, not sure that they're on their way to heaven, Lord, they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that they would today. Father, bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And if God has spoken to your heart, then I invite you to come. Invite you to come and just speak to the Lord. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you need to come and start today. I'm not playing around anymore. I'm not just giving a little bit of airtime here and there. I'm committing today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to make it me and God time. I'm going to have that sacrifice of prayer. Maybe it's that great obstacle you've kind of put back over in the impossible category. My friend, that's where God shines through. You say, but you just said He may or may not answer like I want. But by the time you get to that point where He redirects you, then you will find that He was right. The surrender of prayer. Lord, Thy will, not mine, be done. But the sacrifice of prayer. Are we truly praying as Christians? Maybe you're here and not sure that you're saved. Would you step out and come? I'll be watching each aisle and we'll love to just meet you and take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. This time is for you. As they play through one more verse, I just can't help but think that there's another few people in this room. You don't need to come down the altar, you're welcome to, but that you need to make a holy vow to the Lord right there where you are, that you're going to labor in prayer once again for something going on in your life. You're going to spend that time with the Lord where He can help you. Why don't you start that journey right now? Lord, I give it to you. Won't you tell the Lord something like that? You're not here by accident. You say, Pastor, I decided to come. Yeah, and the Lord let you. And I would say the Lord led you. You're here for a purpose. As brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe walk out of here more of a prayer warrior than we've ever been before. Determined to be praying people. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, what a privilege to be back in church today. And thank you for being here, part of all of it. And again, if you're a guest with us today, thank you. And if you didn't care to drop that guest card off, the Connect card to the guest services, then we have a gift for you. And I want to say thank you once again for being here. If you have children that are up in children's services, they'll be back in their classes now. And you can go get them. And then you're welcome to go back out. The inflatables and all will be out there. Let your kids play and have a good time and enjoy all of it. And then whether you have children or not here, that doesn't matter. Please, if you want to, stop by. They've got hot dogs and probably some other things. things out there. Just go out for the fellowship and fun if you want to. If you've already got a steak on somewhere, it's coming, then don't pass up your steak for this hot dog. It ain't that good. Don't get me wrong. But please come and go fellowship with us if you want to. What a joy to be back in church this morning. Brother Marty, would you mind coming and dismiss us in prayer? And Amy and I will be back in the lobby. If we can do anything for you, please stop by and let us know. We're certainly glad that you're here. Brent, would you make sure Preacher Lassie gets his basket wherever he wants it? Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you that you're a God that hears and answers prayer. Thank you for that great privilege. Help us to always use it. Help us to seek you, Lord, in every area of our life. Thank you for all you've done this week. Pray, Lord, you continue to bless our church. Pray that you'll be in the services tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.